Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Go ahead and be seated. Open your Bibles to a familiar text. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time there this morning. This morning's message will be a little bit out of the ordinary because it's not going to be so much an expository message as it's kind of like a charge. Everything I'm going to preach by the will of God, the grace of God is just going to be Bible, Bible, Bible. And I just pray that it'll ring true in all of our lives here this morning. We have watched America change before our eyes. We have. Who would have thought the day would come when there'd be so much animosity towards New Testament Christianity? Who would have thought that the day would come, at least the older folks here in America, when homosexuality would be celebrated? To many, they've lowered the flag, raised the white flag. This message this morning is a call to New Testament Christians to get as close as you can to God. Psalm 51 is David crying out to God. I wrote it down here. I preached this psalm in the last year. I think it was last summer. And I'm not preaching that message. I've got something more. There's more in this psalm than what I preached the last go around. And I trust this morning that God will get a hold of all of our hearts. But let me just start with an illustration. I'll pray one more time. God, would you bless this morning? Would you make it real? Would you make it practical to every child of God here? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1975. So let me be, and I actually prayed this in the study this morning. And Greg was in there. Lord, the last thing I want to do is to exalt Tim Rader. But I'm going to start with an illustration. And it's not to exalt me. I want to exalt Christ. And just to kind of get our minds all in the same. And a lot of times, there's a little foolishness at the beginning of the Bible preaching, the beginning of the message, and then we get into the scripture, and God takes over, and I'm excited about that. But let me just share something out of my life. It's 1975. Football season's done. I don't play basketball. I kind of looked at that. I was one of those, if you didn't grow up playing the game, you're not going to play the game. And it took time to be good at basketball, and we didn't have time for that. And Dad just didn't allow that much going on in my life outside of what I had to do at home. So, but earlier in my junior high years, I boxed in the silver gloves in tournaments. And actually, I was pretty good. I only lost one time in those 2.5-3 years. And now everything's done. My football career's done. Everything's done. Now what I'm going to do? Well, I heard they started up a new Golden Glove Club in the Sioux. And they had it in the old days, and it had been gone for 20 years, and now they were starting it up again, Golden Gloves. So I asked Dad. He allowed me. I went in there and had a pretty good winter. I didn't have that many fights, that many tournaments. I was 3-0, and there was going to be a big tournament at the end of the year up in Marquette, Michigan, at the Hedgecock Fieldhouse on the campus of Northern Michigan University. And I was excited about it. It was dubbed USA versus Canada. Remember when there's only a few channels on TV? Remember when you get CBS and NBC and CJIC and that was it? You know, the Canadian channel, CJIC, and that was it. So everybody watched those kinds of things. This was going to be the USA versus Canada. And you might remember boxing was really big at one time. So I went in there and they worked with me, Mr. Kuton, Mr. Itram. I remember those names. They're old men now. If they're still alive, I hope they're still alive. Maybe they hear the radio broadcast. Who knows? But so worked all year towards this big tournament at the end of the year. And I was excited, you know, the silks that we wore back then, the emerald green robe, and said Sioux Boxing across the back, and the emerald trunks, and man, I was all excited, and man, I was ready to go, light heavyweight, ready to roar, and went up there and on the city's tab, and we stayed at the Holiday Inn, and that's big stuff for me. And we were going into the weigh-in, and I remember going into the weigh-in, there was a man leaning against the building where the weigh-in was. And he was an NMU student. He had the green jacket with the gold leather, and he had him pulled up like this. His arms were bigger than my thighs. His lips were bigger than my arms. And he was a cool guy, and he had his duffel bag. His duffel bag was as big as me. And it was leaning against the building over here. And I remember looking at one of my buddies, and his name was Dusty. And I remember saying, wouldn't it be funny if we had to box somebody like that? Ha, ha, ha. All right, so we go in. We weigh in. We're ready to go. Just prior to the fights, Mr. Itram comes and says, listen, the guy you're going to fight isn't here. I said, what? Well, we went out to eat. I remember what I ate. I ate two cheeseburgers. I ate French fries smothered in ketchup. I had three pieces of banana cream pie. I mean, my belly was stretched right out. Man, this was on the city's tab, man. I'm good. I'm up here, you know. So we're in the third row looking up into the ring. And that's how the ring was about 5 feet off of the ground, steps up to the ring. We're in the third row looking back. The lights are on. A couple of fights. And I remember thinking with the first two guys I saw, we saw a fight. One of them was a light heavyweight. I could have whipped that guy. I'm not bragging. There's no doubt in my mind. I could have whipped both of them. I thought, wow, man, I wish I was fighting. I started talking big. Man, I wish I was fighting tonight. And then Mr. Itram, down at the corner, I heard a voice saying, psst, Timmy, Timmy. And I looked around and it was Mr. Itram. He said, come here. I got a fight for you. I said, what? And I probably tripped over 30 pairs of legs trying to get to it. What? I got to fight. He said, who am I fighting? He said, it's not important. Went to the locker room. So suited up, taping up the fingers, taping up the hands. Mr. Itram, who am I fighting? It's not important. You don't know who he is. I said, okay, I trust him. You know. So then they introduce us. And we come down these long bunch of stairs. Spotlights on us. We're coming down. Making our way down the aisle, down to the ring, climbing up the steps, going into the ring. Mr. Itram pulls the ropes apart. I step through the ring like that, and I looked across, and the guy I saw coming through the ropes on the other side was none other than that guy leaning against the building that we saw on the way in. And I thought, man, there's got to be. I truthfully thought there was a mistake, but I trusted Mr. Itram. He knew what he was doing. Mr. Kutan, they knew what they were doing. I'm good with it. And after the introductions, and just three rounds, Golden Glove boxing. Man, you got to go at it right now. And I'm a stubborn, proud kind of guy. And instead of boxing this guy, and this guy was big. He was a heavyweight. He was 24 years old. I had no idea that he was the NMU hero. Half of the student body, I don't know how many. The place was filled with NMU students. And so in his corner, and he had more hair on his chest than I had on my head. And I know that doesn't mean much now, but it did back then. The bell rang, we come out to fight, and I remember I landed the first blow, and I thought, well, I can get through to this guy. And then leather came from every direction. This guy was not a boxer, this guy was a brawler. And he was trying to push me around the ring, and I'm fighting him, I'm counterpunching, it's coming from every direction. So you know what I did? Being the stupid, stubborn country boy that I am, he wants to fight like that? I'll fight like that. So we went at it. You know, it was unbelievable. And he caught me off balance after a punch and pushed me down. He was just mauling me. He just pushed me down. I went down and I got right back up. And, you know, of course, they counted it as a knockdown. Referee wipes my gloves off and counts off. And we go back at it again. And I was mad because he did not knock me down. He pushed me down. Second round. I came out, I land, Mr. Itram, Mr. Kutan, listen, he is a sucker for an overhand right. When he charges in like that, you throw a jab and hit him with the overhand right. So he comes charging in like a bull. I threw the jab, I hit him with the overhand right, and I hit him right in the end of the jaw, and it's like it went slow motion. Beautiful picture. It's like everything froze, and he went right over backwards, just like this, slow motion. Bounced off the mat, and he's laying there, and the referee starts to count, and little Timmy Raider starts to pray, God, don't let him get up. Please don't let him get up. He got up. So we finished up the round. Two rounds are done. It's pretty much a draw. I am more tired than I've ever been in my life. I sit in this little stool that's lower than a chair where your knees are up by your ears, and I've never have figured that out. And they're trying to pour water down my throat, and I don't want water. I want air. I want air. I kept pushing them back. I want air. I'm tireder than I've ever been in my life. Truthfully, I did not know in the third round if I was going to get my arms up in the middle of the ring. I was going to try to get to the middle of the ring. I didn't know if my arms were going to come up. And we finished out the third round, and make a long story short, I lost on a split decision. And the referee said to me, son, if it makes any difference, you got my vote. It didn't make any difference. Second place in a boxing match isn't, I got a real nice plastic trophy, said second place, USA versus Canada. It isn't even existent anymore. It really doesn't make a lot of difference. I don't want to be second place for my Savior. I want to be as close to Him as I can possibly be. I don't want mediocrity. I'm not interested in status quo. How many this morning, you say amen, I want all God has for me, say amen. Amen. How many you mean that? You want to serve Him with everything you have. You know, a lot of Christians don't want that. A lot of Christians say, I'm going to heaven, that's good enough for me. But that ought not to be our desire. I recognize the world is going. I recognize we march to the beat of a different drummer. You say, preacher, you're old fashioned and you're out of step. Out of step, I'll go one further than that. I'm going in a different direction. I belong to God. I want all of Him there is. I want Him to have all of me there is. That's theologically better said. I want Jesus to have all of me that there is to have so I can know God's full blessing. Can anyone doubt we need revival in America? Does anybody here doubt that, man, the church is in a sad, sad condition? And if we have a bubble here at Fundamental Baptist Church, glory to God. Let's make it a big bubble. Let's make it a bubble that spreads all over the Upper Peninsula and even impacts the state of Michigan. Let's be that Christianity, that New Testament Christianity that wants to go all out for God. Don't be satisfied with just getting just enough. Just the minimum. Boy, please don't be that kind of Christian. We're glad you're here. We want you here. We want you in the services. We want you sitting in the pews, singing the songs, holding the hymnal, you know, lifting your voice to the glory of God. But we're praying and we want people that mean business with God. Say, oh, I will later. No, I'm right now. Mean business with God. Look at Psalm 51. Here we have the heart of David being bared before his Savior. He puts it to music and he writes this psalm. So his heart, he bears his heart before all of the kingdom, before all of the world, before all of the followers and the worshipers of Jehovah God, the true God of heaven. And David here just makes it clear, I have no hope for satisfaction except Jesus Christ. I could buy some things. There's no satisfaction there. Our lives are short. If 70, if by strength 80, I mean, yeah, it's going to be gone. Many people don't live that long. Life is slipping away. Jesus is coming soon. Man, get all out for Jesus, all the way for Jesus. The truth is, there's so much that needs to be done. We got room for you in the choir. You can sing and you're not in the choir, and you're not in the choir because you're too lazy to come to choir practice. God help you. You know, you could add to the services by lifting your voice. Man, go all out for Christ. We need Sunday school teachers. We need more of them. We got a Sunday school contest coming up. We're starting in the middle of April. I'm sorry, 1st of May. 5th of May, we're running the buses on Sunday morning for Sunday school. You know what that means? We need bus workers. We need some people to be all out. We need some people to be all in for Jesus. David here, Psalm 51, says in verses 1 and 2, here's a simple little outline. He was hungry for God. He was hungry for God. And I would ask you that before this question before I read these first two verses. Are you hungry for God? Say, oh, no, I'm drinking at the wells of the world. Poison wells, but, you know, people are dying, but, you know, I'm happy. I got my own little thing here. Are you hungry for God? Oh, to get close to Him, to love Him, to know Him better than I have known Him. One day we're going to see Him, you know. Are you going to see Him as that child that was wandering around or that one that served Him? Here's a childlike thought occurred to me this morning. I wonder what God smells like. You know, smell is pretty important. That's why they burned incense in the tabernacle. Sweet to God. I wonder what He smells. We're going to smell Him, you know. We're going to be that close. How about serving Him right now? You say, we're going to see Him. You understand that? We're going to worship Him It's going to be a day. Psalm 51, David says, have mercy on me, O God. And you know, he was guilty of three capital crimes here. He was worthy of death. He confesses that in this psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David was hungry for God. David was out of fellowship. 18 months. He'd committed that sin with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was with child. He had Uriah murdered. He was the king of Israel. He had everything going for him. And he gave in to temptation because he was where he was not supposed to be. He gave in to temptation, committed a terrible sin, the sin of adultery, committed murder. He committed sin after sin to cover up his sin. And then he got found out, and the prophet Nathan comes to him in the book of Samuel and says, David, thou art the man. You were guilty of adultery. You were guilty of murder. David, you are deserving of death. And right away he repents. He says, oh, forgive God, have mercy upon me. And God allowed him to stay on the throne. And our merciful God forgave David. But for 18 months, you understand, he was out of fellowship with God. And he was so hungry for God. He remembered what it used to be like. When they fellowshiped, when he prayed, when he sang, when he walked the halls of the palace, the streets of the city, the hills of Judea, and he fellowshiped with God, and how they used to love on one another. And now the skies had turned to brass. His prayers didn't go further than the ceiling. He wet his pillow at night with his tears. He was so far from God. And he cries out to God and says, mercy. God heard that prayer. But he said, mercy. Are you hungry for God? Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved? Do you remember how your feet hardly ever touched the ground? Do you remember how you told everybody about Jesus? Best friend you ever had. Look what he did for me. Remember when the joy of Christ just radiated from your body? You entered a room and the atmosphere in the room changed because you were so in love with God? How about you get back to that? I don't mean just words. I mean get back to that. How about you get like David and you get hungry for God? Well, for that to happen, you need to be honest with God. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. He's honest. He wasn't pretending to be something he wasn't. He knew he was a sinner, saved by grace. He understood that. He never walked around pompous. He's the king, and he never walked around with his chin in the air and his nose in the air, thinking he was better than everybody else. That was not King David, the man after God's own heart. Verse 4 says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said, man, I was born a sinner. I know that. I was a sinner when I was still in my mother's body. I recognize that. That's theological. That's an absolute truth. We're fallen people, children of Adam. Need a savior. And he says, I'll be honest with you, God. I don't want to hide anything. I'm not hiding anything from you. I know I've sinned. And he confessed and repented of his sin. And of course, God forgave him. And it might be that you're not honest with God this morning. It might be Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, will not prosper. That's what God says. So if you just kind of laugh about your sin and push it into the corner, it's still there. And it's impacting your life. And pretty soon there's going to be so much sin in that living room, you're going to have to live in the kitchen. And there's going to be so much sin piled up in there, you open the fridge and there it is, and you're going to have to move outside your own house. I'm telling you, that is not the way to live. God is not in the unrighteous business of blessing sin. You say, well, how do I make that right so God can bless me? Confess your sin. Be honest with God. As a child of God, there was a day where you were born again. There was a place you were born anew of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, you've sinned since that time. You keep short accounts with God, just like David did. And you confess your sins to God. How long has it been since you've been on your bony knees, crying out to God, asking for forgiveness of personal sin In fact, it's been so long for some that they don't even know what sin is anymore. You've gotten a long ways from God. And all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. Got to be honest with God. Got to be hungry for God. Be honest with God. There's a famine today of the word of God. Just as there was a famine of the word of God when the children of Israel were in captivity and then came back. And you read about that in the book of Amos. You read about it in the book of Nehemiah where they finally finished the walls and then they finished the temple. And somebody says, something's missing. And they cry out in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, Ezra, bring out the Bible. Bring out the word of God. It's the word of God. And then revival comes as a result of that. And I would tell you, in America, there is a famine of the word of God. You say, preacher, wait a minute. We got more printed Bibles, more Bibles than we've ever had in this country. Most families got two or three Bibles. But that's what they are. They're sitting on shelves. People aren't reading it. People aren't studying it. People aren't hearing it. Instead, it's all about being entertained all the time. You need to walk with God. Be hungry. Get hungry. Be honest. Confess your sin. Ask God to do great things, not only here, but in America. In America, churches are places where the religious elite gather. Entertainment centers, powerless, cold. People of God become an apathetic and beat down and raising the white flag. Don't be satisfied with second place. Say, I'm doing pretty good, preacher. I know somebody I'm doing better than. Get your eyes off of them and get your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. David was hungry, honest. Look at verse 17. Oh, I got to read verse 7. Let me read verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. And I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David says, purge me, wash me, blot out my sin. Restore the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. That's the business of God. God is in the business of forgiving sinners, washing them up and making them clean. David, the man after God's own heart, was hungry for God. He was honest about his own lifestyle, honest about his own sin. And he confessed and repented of his sin to God. And he asked God to make him clean, to make him right. And God is in the business of forgiving sinners. God, listen to me. God will forgive you and God will wash you up. And God will make it just like it used to be. If you'll surrender, if you'll turn from your sin, he'll restore you. He'll wash you. He'll blot out your sin. He'll renew a right spirit within you. Maybe you've turned into the cynic. God help you. God help you. If you can just find everything wrong with it. You've turned into the cynic. God help you. You're so far from God, maybe you don't even recognize it. Get hungry for God. Get honest with God. And then get humble before God. There's nothing more humbling than walking an aisle in front of people that you know and love. In front of people that think everything is all right at your house. That you are the epitome of New Testament Christianity. And then you walk the aisle and get down on your knees and tearfully talk to God. That is humbling. That is good. Look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Thou wilt not despise. God wants you humble. God wants you repentant. It can be just like it used to be. That's how you got saved, by the way. You were humble and you repented. And that's how you're going to live for God. If you're going to live victoriously, you'll have a humble spirit and a repentant spirit. You'll be small and you'll be sorry for your sin. Humble and repentant, small and sorry. Tonight's message is a little bit about ladder climbers out of the book of James. Remember what God wants in Psalm 51. contrite heart. Let me just say this. I'm just trying to make it as, I'm asking God to help me make this clear. You don't deserve God's son. I don't deserve the Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. I don't deserve that. Oh, he loves us. I don't deserve forgiveness. But not only did he forgive me, he takes me into his family. Not only did he take me into his family, even and I mess up, he's taken me to his home. My father's house. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I don't deserve God's son. How can I not be humble? You wear as nice a clothes as you can find. You drive as nice a car as you can. You live in as nice a house as you can live in. Compared to heaven, it's dirt. And it's not yours. You're going to lose it. Someone else is going to live in your house someday. Someone else is going to, well, hopefully they don't have to wear your clothes, but me, I wear secondhand clothes all the time. You know, the fact is, all of that is so temporary, and the little baby Christian thinks it's forever. That's what it's about. It's about having nice houses and nice homes and nice clothes and being popular. That's a baby Christian kind of thing. That's that third grade, 8-year-old mentality again, spiritually speaking. Second place Christian. David said, that's not what I want. Oh, I want your fellowship, God. I want your love. I want to be used of you again. I want your work to prosper. Look at the last couple of verses. We don't have time to do that. It's about Jesus. It really is. This morning, I was praying here in the auditorium. And actually, I prayed this one time earlier this week as well, where God sometimes speaks to you when you're praying. You read your Bible, you pray, and then he kind of puts it all together. And if you're not careful, and pastors need to know this, and anybody in leadership needs to know this, you're always going to be aware of people that are kind of turning a cold shoulder to Christ, that are born again, that got saved, God changed their life, and they're going back to the world. They're hearing something that used to be back in Egypt, and they're starting to go back to that. And really, if you're not careful, it'll taint everything you see. And if you're not careful as a preacher, as a pastor, you start to see everything through the prism of defeat, instead of through the victory that we have in Christ. And the blessings of God are abundant on my life. I can even look at just my own family as a personal illustration. God is good to me. None of my kids are perfect. None of my grandkids are perfect. None of my in-laws are perfect. None of that. None of them are perfect. They all make mistakes. They all do some wrong things from time to time. And if I'm not careful, even as a grandpa or even as a dad, I look and I think, why are they doing that? And I get all consumed about that. And it grieves me. But I was just reminded this morning, we're going to be together in heaven. Everything will be fine there. It's just so sad they're short-circuiting their life here. And messing up right now, of which I do as well. Don't be satisfied with second place. Go all for God. Pretty simple message this morning. A message for you and for me.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.